Keyhole at the dolly.
In 1958, when Gabrielle Sells was a year and a half old, she, her parents, and her sister moved to New York, where her father, Peter Sells, would begin his job as the chief curator at the Museum of Modern Art. What followed was a whirlwind childhood spent among art and artists. Gabrielle's memoir, Unstill Life, A Daughter's Memoir of Art and Love in the Age of Abstraction, is a window into the world of the abstract expressionist movement of the 1960s and 1970s. And we welcome Gabrielle Sells to the roundtable this morning. You talk in the book about a child who is overshadowed by your father in many ways. At what point in your life do you feel you came to grips with that?
Now.
Okay. Did the book...
It's an ongoing process. My father's actually 95 now, and he's still working a little bit. Yeah, he's a very charismatic man, but he takes up a lot of space. And I think what he taught me, besides how to look at art and how to appreciate art, was also how to persist, you know, how to stick with something, how to carry it through. I mean, he's very good at that, and how to stay in the game no matter what. So I'm really grateful for that. But, yeah, it's been a struggle. I think it's a struggle my mother never quite realized. So it actually feels really good to have something of my own that also incorporates their lives.
And while there certainly was an overshadowing, you were very much a part of it. I mean, when the whether it be the parties and the moving from here to there, you were brought around.
There were no boundaries. And partly that was the culture of the times, you know, the 60s and 70s. There were no boundaries in a lot of people's lives. But I think in the art world it was more extreme, and the whole art was about breaking boundaries because, you know, it was abstract, and then it was on canvases that were unframed, and then it was off the canvas. And so the art and what was happening in the art world kind of mirrored what was happening in the real world, which were people were breaking down a lot of boundaries, sexually, politically, psychologically. So, yeah, we saw a lot of things that I have a child. I wouldn't necessarily want my child until he's older to witness and be part of.
You do write in the book that for my father, that world of privilege and power was more engaging than our domestic life. It was the art world that was all-encompassing.
Yeah, and the art, too. I mean, the art on the walls was as much a character in our home as the people, you know. It was kind of paramount. So that's true. And he's very, I mean, the wonderful thing about my dad is he will, you know, cop to all that. He will admit that. He will acknowledge it. And I really appreciate that. But, yeah, it was a big job, and it required a lot of social life. So my parents averaged three parties a night sometimes. So we didn't see a lot of them.
And he was married five times, right?
He is, yes, and he is still married on his fifth marriage. But and some of them were very brief. One was 2 months, one of those marriages. And when he wasn't married, there was usually a woman living in his house. My dad doesn't like being alone, and he likes a large audience. He works, you know, his house is big and open, and I think there's an image of it in the book. And his office is kind of like this stage that cantilevers out over the living room. So, you know, that's how he works and lives.
How do you believe art connected the two of you?
Well, I certainly believe, especially contemporary art and modern art, where, you know, it takes kind of a real engagement of the viewer. So I think it requires something of us to understand it. And I think with my dad looking at art and understanding art and being part of that process where together we're looking at something and we're figuring it out, is a deep form of connection. It's something we share. I think it's certainly something he shared with my mother. I mean, they spent their youth just going around looking at art and kind of being vagabonds in Europe, and then later on, you know, doing that same thing in New York. So it's a way of connecting, and it's also, it's a language. Neither of us are visual artists, but we are both writers, and we both write about art. And he shares what he writes and with me, and I share what I write with him. And it's very powerful. It's very powerful.
Is there ever a time that you became jealous of it, that you were competing with it?
Of the art? I think I've been jealous of many things in my father's life. You know, I mean, when I was younger, it was the other women and the attention, and also sometimes these women came with children. And I felt, you know, he often shuffled the people around in his life like a deck of cards. So it very much felt like that, like musical chairs more. Like, you know, you would run around and you had to be quick, so your seat wouldn't be taken. I think, and he was always busy and traveling. I think that my way of dealing with the jealousy, certainly with the art, was to become interested in it and become knowledgeable in it and sophisticated in it. And I did that from a very young age, without even knowing about it. My dad used to take me to the galleries with him on Saturdays. This is when they were up on Madison Avenue and 57th Street in New York. And he'd carry me in on his shoulders, and I could call out the names of everything I saw on the walls. And he would be, you know, he would be very proud of me and show me off. And that made me feel valued. And that continued. So I think in the beginning, I did it to connect with him and to impress him.
I've heard it both ways, and I don't know that I could completely tell in the book of you obviously had an interest in art, and you were fascinated by it. Did you get the opportunity when these famous artists were coming through in the house, and you were in the galleries and so forth? Did you have an opportunity to ask the questions that you had about the art
to them?
Yes.
Well, later on, when I was older, certainly. I mean, I've talked to Christo, I've, you know, known him since I was in college, and his wife, Jean-Claude, when she was still alive. But when I was a kid, I didn't. I knew their children, and they were around, and I remember them, and I remember certainly a lot of the conversations, and also because of my mother's journals, I could, you know, she kept notes, meticulous notes of all of that, and I had that as an incredible source material. But I don't think I started really talking to artists about their work until I was older. I mean, I was a child.
Right. Would you have?
They played with me. I would go to Osario's studio out in East Hampton and, you know, play with his material in his studio. But it was a different level of, you know.
When you think of the opportunities that you had, when you think of the art that you've seen and the art that you've seen created and putting that into a context in writing the book, did you realize, did some of the good come back of those experiences?
All of the good came back. And I don't, you know, I'm not, it was an amazing childhood and youth, and I'm still connected to it, and I value it. It did, and more so than, you know, I mean, the hardship. I think also I have the type of personality where I tend to look at the bright side of things,
mm-hmm.
and I think I benefited certainly more than I suffered from it, because you can be neglected by any parent, you know, whether they're in the art world or not, you know. I think it's more common if you have parents who are creative, and maybe this isn't true, but I did notice it a lot with the with other artists' children. First of all, when I was a kid, there weren't that many children in the art world.
Mm-hmm.
Artists tended not to have children. It was really hard. You had to devote so much to your career, and the wives devoted a lot to the husbands, and certainly women artists. You know, it was an incredible struggle for them. So that's only become more recent where, you know, people can have children and can have more than one life. You know, they can have their art and a life. And I think actually, you know, my parents had something to do with that. I mean, certainly my mother was on the board of the of Westbeth and was one of the, which is the oldest artist housing project, and she helped choose people to get into the building when mm-hmm. they started. And the whole idea of Westbeth was to give people, artists, a place, to a low-income place to work and to have families.
So there was no thought that an unstill life is okay. You don't wish you had a stiller life.
Oh, sure. There were times when, you know, and I lived 3,000 miles away from my father. So certainly there's a reason for that. And I love him and I see him, but, you know, it's good to have boundaries and distance.
Right.
I'm a writer, so I require a different kind of world to produce my work. I require actually a lot of alone time, and I require, you know, I need to withdraw to write. I am not as social as my father, though I enjoy it. So I set my life up a little bit differently. But yeah, every once in a while, it's really fun to dip into the art scene and to dip into the whirlwind and, you know, to taste it again. But do I? No, it's a great story. Do I regret it? No, not at all.
Did you share the book with your father?
Oh my God, yes. I mean, not while I was writing it, and which he kept asking and asking. But when I was in doing the galleys, He read it, and he went through it with a pencil. And, he had some suggestions. I only took one. And then he's read it twice since then in hardback. And he was actually going to come, you know, I'm having a book party in New York, and he was going to be here for it, to see a lot of these artists who were coming out for it. And he actually got sick last week, so mm-hmm. we're hoping everything will be okay.
Right.
But yes, he loves it. You know, he's a man, obviously, because of his ego and stuff. He loves attention, whether it's good or bad. You know, he's like that. So yeah.
So if it's about him and you're talking about him,
right,
that's okay.
Right. And yeah. You know, I didn't want it all to be about him. Obviously, I mean, if you
know, there's a lot about you. Sure.
There's a lot about me, and there's a lot about my mother.
Yes.
And the women of that generation who, you know, were struggling to come into their own. And so I, you know, he had wanted me to write about him for years, and I resisted because I wanted to find a way to do it where he wasn't the whole story, you know, where he didn't take it over, because he can't take things over. Yeah.
Well, it's a fascinating memoir. It is Unstill Life. It is published by Norton. Gabrielle Sells, I thank you so much for being with us and sharing your story. I thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book is Unstill Life, A Daughter's Memoir of Art and Love in the Age of Abstraction. It is published by Norton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.